All right. Are we recording?
Yep.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is the Matt and Joe Woodworking Fun Hour. This is episode 18.
It's 18.
Yeah, so I'm Matt, Matt Kinney.
And I'm Joe Ferroni.
Here's Joe Ferroni. And thanks for tuning in again to listen. Hopefully you enjoyed the improved audio quality last episode.
Maybe you didn't notice.
Maybe.
I think they might
noticed.
Have. Yeah.
And we continue with that improved audio quality. So let's see. Since the last time we recorded, I don't remember what's happened in my life.
It was just before Valentine's Day. That was 2 weeks ago. And if I had to guess by watching your Instagram, it's probably a lot of Kumiko blogs.
Oh, yeah. I've made a lot of Kumiko blocks and shipped those out to people that bought them. I'm pretty much completely caught up on all my orders now. And I think the next thing I'm going to do, although I'll do more rounds of Kumiko blocks, I'm a little worried that the demand is gone for that, but we'll see.
At least for now.
At least for now.
Other woodworking?
No.
It's been mostly that.
Yeah, I've just been, I mean, that stuff is pretty, it's time consuming in the sense that, you know, if I go to the lumberyard and I get five pieces of 8-quarter soft maple, right, which is heavy,
yeah,
and big.
Absolutely. You brought it in last time I was here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in one day I can, you know, with a circ saw, cut it down to length. Like I usually cut it down to about 40 inches long. I get like 10-foot pieces and I get 3 40-inch lengths out of that. Then at the bandsaw, I rip that into strips that are about 2.5 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
And then joint it, playing the opposite face parallel and straight to it. And then edge joint it and then rip it down. And that's usually a day. And it's, you know, that could be like 4 to 5 hours, but to go past that in a day, it's like already you're exhausted because
yeah.
It's just so much weight.
Sure.
And it's that you're moving around. And then the next day I would come out and I'll run the data or run the grooves.
Okay.
Cut them to length. And depending on how many, you know, because if I'm, you know, I just made 70 pairs of blocks.
Oh.
So that's 140 individual blocks, right?
Right.
So I might, that can take a while to run all those grooves and cross cut them to length and everything. So then I'd come out on a third day and that's when I would cut all the angles and drill the holes for the stops. And then it's another. Then you got a day where you have to mill up stock for the stops.
Yep.
And then I cut those out. You know, cut them all to length.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes a. It took me probably a good several hours to route the grooves and all the stops.
Jesus.
You know, so it's like you can't. It's just like something you can't do all in one day.
Sure. And yeah. Of course.
Because it's just monotonous, tedious work. So I spread it out over like 5 days. And then this time also, in addition, like people were able to buy the blocks with a big handful of strips.
Yeah.
So I had to make all these strips as well this time.
Oh, God.
So that took like 2 days. Because again, that's a boatload of milling.
Yep.
And then you just sit there and you rip out all these strips. So
how long a batch are you doing those? Like, how long would you go for before having to need a break and be like, all right, I gotta set everything down and go relax. I'm
well,
just curious.
I just
curious about your stamina here.
I look for natural break points. So I'll be like, okay, on the blocks, I'm going to cut all the 67.5 degree angles. So every block that I sell for the Asanoha, the basic pair, has each block, both blocks have a 67.5 degree guide surface on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them has a 22.5 and one of them has a 45.
Yep.
So I'll cut like all the 67.5s and then I'll take a break. Usually I'll come into the house and draw something.
Yeah.
Then I go back out and cut all the 22.5s and take a short break and then do the 45s.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah, it takes a long time. So, yeah, so that's pretty much all I've done since the last time I saw you. I'm about to go to Texas to teach in Austin.
Yep.
And when I get back from that, I need to clean my shop, and then I'm going to finish my credenza.
Okay.
Because I have a couple of weeks at home, and then I go to Mark Adams.
Yep.
And also, in the meantime, people seem to be interested in buying plans for some of the work.
I saw that.
So I'm gonna put a plan together in that time that I'm home.
Oh, nice.
As well, at least one.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm gonna actually start working on one of them probably tonight.
Oh, really? Do you know which one you're starting?
I think
with?
I'm gonna start with that kindling, the kindling box. Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, and we'll see how they sell.
Well, I finished my table or my desk.
That's right. Yeah.
When I was here last time, you let me use the 4.5, the mm-hmm. 4 and the 5. Is that what I was using?
You were using the 4, 4.5, and my 5. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were really. I got a couple questions actually on Instagram about like, oh, I'm thinking about getting that. Should I get a different frog? And I said we were using a 45, really sharpened with the throat closed all the way up, and I had no issues with tear out or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then I took it home, and there were a couple parts where I was trying to clean up some. I got it probably 90% of the way there. And then when I took it home, I was trying to clean stuff, and my 4 would just chatter on
right.
and undo all the work I was doing. So I ended up sanding all the way through. I think I started like 100 and went through 220.
With a random orbit sander?
Yep. And it came out. And then I hand finished just to get rid of some of the swirls and stuff like that. And it looks really nice. And then I text you about water-based finish, and you're like, well, why would you use water-based finish? But because of the ash, I didn't want it to yellow.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of water-based. Like, it's okay for certain things, but... And then I waxed over it, and it looks pretty good. Nice. It's a little shinier than I wanted it to be. Yeah. But,
you have to invite me over to your house sometime so I can see it.
You're invited. Yeah, right. It just doesn't work out all the time.
Your wife doesn't want me to come over.
No, that's not true at all.
Ghost-faced killer.
RZA. and then what else? And then the basement's almost completely tidied up, and I started to refit my tea cabinet so I can actually glue it up.
Nice.
And I went to a lumber yard to go get some wood last week to start the cabinet over my desk, and it was closed.
They were out of business.
Yeah, like that, completely out of business.
That location has
correct.
Closed.
Correct.
Yeah, that's too bad. So actually, I was at the lumber yard yesterday.
Which one? Conway?
Yeah, the one Conway up in Gaylordsville. Yep. That's right. I go there. I mean, they have great basswood there.
Yep.
And they have other stuff that I really like going there.
I have yet to go there. I want to.
Yeah. Well,
for this cabinet, I may want to go somewhere other than Hinman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think their stuff's good enough for pretty wood?
Hinman?
Yeah. I know there's stuff sawn from local things, so it's kind of hit or miss, but
right.
Is Conway, I'm guessing Conway's a little more consistent.
Well, it depends. I don't know what you're looking for.
Okay.
So it would depend. If you're looking for like quarter sawn white oak.
Yeah.
I don't really know because I don't really buy quarter sawn white oak.
Okay.
So I've never really looked at
what about walnuts?
Right now, Conway has great walnut. It's really a good color. It's not been grayed out.
Okay.
So it's probably been kiln dried but not steamed.
Got
so
it.
So they have some really nice, pretty walnut there.
All right. Well, if you go sharing. Back, let me know.
Well, when I get back from Texas, if you want to go, we
all
can
right.
go.
Cool. Let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just go. I can always use basswood or poplar for trim in the house or something.
Okay. Cool.
Can I
bring up one other thing? So a couple weeks ago, right after I left after our last podcast,
yeah,
I went to Michigan State for an assignment for game day, and it happened to be Valentine's night, and I was sitting at a bar, and it was just a little steakhouse. I sat down, and there was a couple next to me. I was sitting at the end of the bar. And at some point, like early on in the dinner, I noticed the guy had a bandage and his index finger was completely gone.
Oh my goodness.
And and I didn't, you know, they didn't have anything to do with me. They were having their own conversation. It was Valentine's Day. And I usually strike up small talk, and I didn't this time. But the bartender came over and looks at the guy and goes, "Hey, what happened to your finger?" And he looks at me and goes, "No, seriously, what happened to your finger?"
Bear trap.
So I kind of like overheard, and I'm listening, and the guy goes, "It was a saw," and the bartender just walked away. And I looked over, and he kind of noticed that we kind of made eye contact, and he looks over, and I go, "Hey, table saw?" And he goes, "Yeah." And then I was like, "Oh, this sounds douchey, but I do woodworking. Do you do woodworking?" And then we started a whole conversation. I mean, what ended up from the conversation was that, like the entire night, we had a really good chat, just me, him, and his wife, and the three of us had a great night. We're talking about kids and all this other stuff.
And then what
happened? He actually, nothing.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And then at that point, right after we began talking, he's like, I know you just got your medium rare steak. He goes, but do you want to see the picture? And, and he showed me. Their names Ashley and Jesse, and they were really cool. We had a lot of fun that night. It was neat.
And he lost his entire finger.
So he lost his entire finger. It sounds like he makes a lot of cutting boards and things like that. So he's cutting strips, and he said he had a push stick and everything. And what he said he thinks happened is the piece sort of lifted
up
and came down. And when it came down, what happened, unfortunately for him, was the saw blade went the length of his finger, so there was nothing they could do. Like it went up his finger and didn't.
Why are you
leave
telling
a
me this
so,
right now?
And then why I'm telling you is hashtag saw stop, because he had been bugging his wife, who does finances for work for a living.
Yeah,
she was like no, and then when that happened, she was like, oh, I guess you can buy a saw stop. So, and he too said it's, even with insurance, said it's cheaper to get a saw stop than it was to go through that. So,
oh yeah, it's much cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty gruesome when he sent me when he showed me the picture though. So
yeah.
Thanks for that, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Joe, I'm trying to take a picture of Joe to post the Instagram story right now, and you look terrible in every one of them.
Ugh. Has nothing to do with what we're doing. It's
right.
Just me.
Well, that's, you didn't tell them about me, did you?
I did. I said, Matt and I do a podcast. He didn't know who the hell you were.
Good.
He didn't know who I was.
Good.
And then,
well, that's not
surprising. But I told him all about it, and he was cool, and I explained what happened to you and that you got a saw stop, and he's like, me too. That was it. So
cool.
Anyways, it was just a cool story, and you know, be safe.
Yes, be safe.
And well, I don't want to touch my table saw now after seeing that photo, especially.
Oh my God, yeah. All right.
Moving on. So do you want to go into the main thing we're going to talk about, or can I bring up the text I sent you last week about replacing
we can start there with your text, yeah.
So I sent Matt a text about whether or not I should get, Lee Valley had the free shipping thing going on, and I think we had just talked about that too.
Right. The day that we talked about I got an email from them that was like, free shipping starts today. Yeah.
And then I asked you if it's worth to just get a replacement blade from Veritas and put it in my number four. And you said, well, I don't know what your number four is like or what condition or anything. And then you said, why don't you just get a new one?
Right.
Which has been on my list. And after having used yours, that's very high on the list. I'm waiting for a rebate for something that I bought, and maybe I can buy it. So,
I people ask me this all the time, like, about using, you know, refurbishing an old plane and putting a new blade in it, maybe a new chip breaker, or versus getting a new plane. And I guess a long time ago, I stopped apologizing for my answer, because you're asking me what I would do.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with old planes.
Yeah.
I just give me a new plane. A new Lee Nielsen or Veritas plane is hands down better than a refurbished Stanley, no matter what. They're better planes.
Yeah, I mean, everything's new on them, and nobody's really messed with it
before.
They're
engineered, they're designed better. You know, they're improved versions of older planes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, hands down, if it's within your financial means, to get a new hand plane.
Yeah.
Just do it. And if it's not, then it's kind of a moot question. You know,
right.
Get an old Stanley.
Yeah, get a new,
tune it up.
Yeah.
Get a new blade. Get a new chip iron. A new iron plane. Chip breaker.
Yeah.
Right. Is that what it? Yeah.
Yes.
Because that is the biggest problem with the old Stanleys, is that the blades are just too thin.
Yeah.
And they chatter like crazy.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what's going on with mine.
So. Yeah. So, well, they also chatter. I mean, your plane blade's probably not that sharp.
It is sharp. It's after you taught me how to do it, and I actually took the time to do it, and it's pretty damn good.
Okay.
But it is super thin. I mean,
yeah, they're really thin.
I mean, it's like paper thin compared to what you get with the new one. So here's my next question, follow up to that. Four or four and a half?
You should get a four as the first plane.
If I already
like
have
that.
A four, that does a decent job. Like, I wouldn't use it on some figured ash like I had, but should I keep the four and get a 4.5 or and then backfill with four? You think I should still go the four?
If like, okay, if you want to keep using that number four for a long time.
I mean, it's to get me there. It gets me there. It gets the job done. It's not perfect.
I would not get a number four, a 4.5 next.
Okay.
So you have a number four, right?
Yeah.
What else do you have?
A shitty five and a shitty like 7 or 8. I think it's a 7.
So if you're number four, you want to, if it's tuned up well enough for you, I would get a 5.
Go 5. Oh, and then I have a number 62, the low angle.
Like you have a number 62.
Mm-hmm. It's like a low angle 5.
Right. Yeah. Bevel up.
Yep.
Yeah, but they call a bevel up smoother or bevel up jack. So go 4
is what you're telling me. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, excuse me.
Matt's nodding.
I'm nodding my answer, yes, which is beneficial for everyone. But I was yawning too at the same time, which is why I was nodding.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Bronze or steel?
Steel's fine.
What's you get a little more mass with the bronze?
Bronze is heavier. Okay. And, you know, if you use a plane a lot, heavier is not really better.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So I would go with just this. The iron ones are a little bit less expensive. Well, you can only get a bronze one from Lee Nielsen. So if you get a Veritas, it's moot.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
No, I'm going the Lee Nielsen.
So I would get a iron one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I have. They're fine. They're fantastic. I mean, it's not this, though, they're fine. They're wonderful planes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I got to use it. It's really nice, tuned up really really well.
Yeah. A 4.5 is like it's really a specialty smoother. And the only reason to get one, like I would not get a 4.5 with a standard angle frog. If you have a 4 with a standard angle frog, a 45 degree frog, because why? I mean, all it is just wider. It's, you know, it's doing anything else. So if you want a 4.5 or you're going to get a 4.5, really the reason to get it is so that you can have a high angle smoother.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I would get a 50 degree frog and not a 55.
Awesome.
Yeah, because the steeper it is, the harder it is to adjust the depth of the cut, and the harder it is to push.
Got it.
And I think 50. I've yet to run into any figured woods or difficult woods that could not be managed with my 50 degree 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what we had on your 4.5?
Yeah.
When I was doing it.
Yeah. Okay. It's 50 degree frog.
50 degree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
So you want to move on to the big topic for today?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So the topic for today is what? With your travel coming up,
yep.
What are you taking with you?
Right. So when I first started to travel, I made a tool cabinet that there's a base that is just legs. Then there's a cabinet that bolts to it. And that's where it holds all my hand planes. Almost all my hand planes.
Do you have that in your shop now?
It's in my shop now. Okay. Yeah. It has almost all my hand planes. The number 8's not in there. Neither do my router planes don't fit in there. Mm-hmm. And my little Veritas plow plane doesn't fit in there. But it has every other plane.
Okay.
My shoulder planes, my grooving planes that I made, mm-hmm. all my bench planes, all my block planes. And then there's another cabinet on top of that with four drawers that holds all my chisels, all my tape measures, all my layout, like all my rules and everything, and my card scrapers, and that come apart and they fit into the cab of my truck. And I would take that, all of that, when I drove somewhere to teach, and I would also, but I'd also would need if I needed like a marking gauge, which those I don't keep in there. I keep them on a rack on the wall. Yeah.
Excuse me. On the opposite side of the bench there.
Yeah, at the end of my bench where I plane towards. Mm-hmm. So I would need to also take some of that stuff. And, you know, I would take, you know, a couple of mallets or something. It was just crazy. It was just so much crap to take. And then
it's
once
like your whole shop minus power tools.
Yeah, it really was. Because I was like, I don't want to have to decide.
Right.
You know, and I would take my shooting board and my planing stop and all this stuff. And when you're driving, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But when I started to fly places, I really had to
limit what you're doing.
Yeah, had to get really particular. So I started to really think about what I actually need. Now, in large part, it's determined by what I teach when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
I mostly teach, well, I teach Kumiko
and box.
And boxes.
Yeah.
Now, I do this year, like I'm going to Australia and I'm teaching a tea cabinet. And I'm teaching a tea cabinet up in Maine. So when I go there, I'm going to have to rethink sort of what I take.
Okay.
And I'm actually out in Washington in July. I'm teaching my kindling box.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, I'm going to have to rethink what I take for that as well.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, but so by and large, if I'm teaching Kumiko, it's really easy, actually. It's a Dazuki. It's a couple of one-inch wide chisels. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably take a block plane.
Okay.
Take a block plane for that class. But for box making, and you know, I can by and large get away with everything. I can make any furniture that I want to make with the tools I'm about to tell you, except with the exception of one or two, which we could talk about.
Okay.
So generally what I take is I take a block plane. And I actually take I take technically one block plane and one smooth bench plane.
Okay.
The block plane is my Lee Nielsen low angle adjustable mouth block plane.
Yep.
Which I can't remember the number for that. But it's the larger of their block planes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's the pretty common one that a lot of people have.
Right. I love that plane. And then I also take an H&T Gordon wooden palm smoother.
It's pretty little, right?
It's really small.
Okay.
Yeah. So I take those two, the two planes I always take with me.
Mm-hmm.
I will take a one-inch chisel. And if I'm teaching Kumiko, I'll take my Lee Nielsen one-inch, then I'll take these two Stanley Sweetheart one-inch chisels as backups or loaners for students.
Okay. So you take your good one and your Stanleys?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Then I generally take a Dazuki no matter what. Mm-hmm. I always want to have like a little handsaw with me.
Sure.
And that's actually kind of all the tools I take.
Really?
Yeah. But I do take layout tools.
Okay.
So I take a 12-inch rule, a 6-inch rule. I take my Veritas Precision Square, which is like a 6-inch rule that has a little leg on it, so it looks like an L.
Yeah.
I take that. I take a couple of small squares. Like I have a really tiny, tiny engineer square.
Mm-hmm.
I take that. I have a little tiny Lee Valley adjustable. It's like an adjustable square, I think is what it's called. I take my combo square, my 12-inch and my 6-inch combo squares.
Yep.
And I take a couple of other, you know, like quote unquote tri squares.
Okay.
With me. And, I'll take a marking knife, although I generally don't use marking knives.
Okay.
So I'll take pencils,
mm-hmm.
I have a nice pencil sharpener that,
to the Matt Kenny standard of pencil sharpener.
Yeah. It's excellent pencil sharpener. It's so good. In fact, I have two. I have one for my drawing table and one for the shop.
Mechanical, or is it like a little hand twist one?
It's a hand twist one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't like those.
Oh, I'll show it to you after we're done.
Have you ever seen the video of the artisanal pencil sharpening?
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that is. It's great.
The sandpaper.
Right.
Yeah, it's good. Anyways, yeah. Go ahead.
So I take pencils, and I've gotten more particular about my pencils as time goes.
Yeah.
Part of it is like I used to use Murado Black Warriors, mm-hmm. which I really like. Those mm-hmm. are great pencils.
Yeah.
But recently I've been using pencils. I got a box of pencils made by Mitsubishi, the same company that makes the cars and all that other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because it says on it, made by Exacting Process or something like that. Elaborate Process.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great pencil. And they're green, which I like because then they don't get inadvertently... They don't walk away, you know, because has anybody seen my pencil? They're like, what is it? It's green. They're like, oh, yeah, here, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
a common pencil. Well.
Yeah. And I've started to recently use the Palomino pencils.
Yeah.
I bought some at an art supply store when I was out in Washington in November. But I like those more, not so much for the shot, but for drawing. Yeah. So I usually take them with me. I mean, I draw all the time now, so I'm constantly drawing. So I take those with me. But and that's it. You know, I think this time though I might take some drafting squares with me as well. Not really sure why. But I have a feeling I might need them.
Are there any other wild cards that go in your kit? Like anything else that maybe I'll take that you always kind of keep there and you're maybe taking and you decide not to? Is there anything like that?
Well, something that I always take with me, but it's for not only for woodworking, is I have some circle templates.
Okay.
And I have an ellipse.
Like the French circle?
Not
ones?
French curves. Okay. No, okay. These are like drafting tools.
Okay, gotcha.
They're like thin pieces of green plastic, and they have holes in them.
Yep.
And I take those because...
to draw your robots?
Well, I do use them for the robots, but if the box making class takes a turn where people might want curves, like arches for something,
sure,
then I have all these templates that make it really easy to do it. And I like that more. Like some people might say, oh, you need a compass. I'm like, no, I don't need a freaking compass. You know, I'm going to use these templates. And, you know, like whenever I show my layout tools, and especially say on Instagram, I always get like, where's your dividers and where's your marking knives?
Right, right, right.
And I'm like, listen here, Jebediah, you know, I'm not doing crap
there
with dividers.
There goes half our listeners.
I don't own dividers. Like, well, I own dividers for turning.
Okay.
But those are really more like calipers. Mm-hmm. I don't own dividers, and I don't know... Like, people are like, well, I use them to lay out my dovetails. And I'm like, well, my dovetails are not evenly spaced.
I don't care.
So, I don't give a shit. I'm just not going to use dividers. Part of it's just because they got so popular. People are like, oh, you got to have dividers. And what does so-and-so say?
Yeah.
You know, he says you need dividers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, screw you. I don't need dividers.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. Look at all the stuff that I make. I don't own a pair of dividers. I don't, okay? I make a lot of stuff. I don't use dividers. Hey.
All right.
So no dividers. Marking knife. I do not use marking knives.
Use pencil
all the time? Use pencil all the time. Transfer my dovetails. Use pencil.
Okay.
Mechanical,
or is that with your fancy pencil sharpener?
That's usually with just a normal pencil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just a normal pencil. I do have mechanical pencils. I used to, so when I took drafting, mechanical and architectural drafting in high school, you know, back in the 80s, and then you used, I call them like gravity pencils, where you press a button at the top and these jaws open at the bottom and the lead falls out, right? So it's not like a mechanical pencil like you normally think of. It's different. And those I really like a lot, and I have a nice one. I wish I still had the ones I had in high school, but I don't.
Did you steal those from class, or did you?
No. You had to buy them.
Oh, okay.
Like you could buy them from school, but you had to buy them.
Yeah.
But those you have to have a pointer, a lead pointer, and I own a lead pointer, but I'm not traveling with a lead pointer. So
how big is a lead pointer?
It's only about it. It could fit in the palm of my hand.
Okay.
And like you put the lead, you drop the lead out and you put it down in there and it goes around in a circle.
And just makes a nice...
It makes a concentric point on it.
Okay.
I like those pencils, but they're not, I'm not going to travel with them.
It's not feasible to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not worth traveling with. But things that I... Other than that I might take. Oh, so here's some other things that I do take.
Okay.
All right. So
underwear.
I take my underwear. Just one or two pairs for a week is fine.
Yeah, reverse them.
I mean, we're talking about around other woodworkers.
Well, in Austin, it might be different. It might be a little hot and steamy down there.
But I just don't wear any.
Oh, there you go.
No, so what I do take, I always take my apron.
Okay.
I like to have an apron on. And it also gives me a place to put things as I'm, to have.
It's also very airy.
Very airy. Yeah, I know. It's kind of like wearing chaps, you know? I do take my chaps normally.
There you go.
Yeah. So I take my apron.
Get ready, Phil Morley.
Yeah. I now always take my own hearing protection.
Okay.
So I wear over-the-ear hearing protection.
Like the big 3M ones?
Yeah, the big 3M ones, exactly. And I take those, one, because you never know if that place is going to have them, but also I'm kind of big on ear funk. and I do not want someone else's ear funk on my ears.
Yeah, I get you.
So I take my own hearing protection. And I also, in addition to taking my 3M earmuffs, I always take my Isotunes Pro.
Okay.
Because here in my shop, I always wear both. I have the earbuds in, one, to hear music, but also because they're hearing protection. Mm-hmm. But I also put the earmuffs on over because that makes it even... I mean, I hear almost nothing then of the machines. And I'm going to always take my new dust mask.
Okay.
Which is not one of the, like, disposable ones.
Yeah, right.
So I'm always going to take my dust mask now. Two things. I'm protecting my eyes, my ears, and my lungs now are top priority for me because mm-hmm. I am in the shop so much. So I'm always going to take those. Those are going definitely. I am now always going to... I've made these small shooting boards that work with my block plane, work with a block plane.
Okay.
So I think I'm always going to take one of those.
How big are those?
Other...
Like phone size? Smaller?
No. Bigger than that. Okay. They're maybe...
Like a cheese board.
10 inches long and 6 inches wide.
Mm.
Yeah, and they double as a planing stop as well. Like the fence comes off. And I can plane against this little piece of wood in there.
Oh, gotcha.
So I will always take one of those now. And if I were making like a bigger piece of furniture, say like one of my tea cabinets, I would throw in one of my smoothing planes. I'd probably take my number 4.
So you don't take any planes with you other than the block plane, which is a 60 and a half, by the way.
It's a 16 and a half. So no, I don't. If I, you know, but it would depend. Like, so let's say I was going to make a wall cabinet that had a frame and panel door.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably throw in my small shoulder plane.
Okay.
So there are things that, depending on what I was teaching, I would add to the kit. But those things, I mean, I could make pretty much anything with those tools. But that's assuming that, you know, that's because, all right, I got a joiner and a planer and a table saw and a bandsaw.
Right. Yeah.
You know, those are the tools that are my personal things that I want to have with me when mm-hmm. I'm making furniture.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a table saw, I can figure out your table saw and get it to do what I want it to do. You know,
but you don't want to have to go through and tune a new
tune
a hand plane.
I'm not
tuning
up someone else's hand plane. Screw that. No, I'm not doing that.
No, I
you don't have time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And plus, yeah. So yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, I do take a tape measure. So I normally take my flat back.
Yep.
And I take my standard tape measure. I usually take both of those as well. I don't think I mentioned those, but I normally take those.
We're gonna have to talk aprons at some point because I actually want to get one, and I don't know where I lose pencils all the time when I'm working on my and my tape measure and stuff. But
well, I just I bought an apron last year when I was in Austin.
Okay.
That I really like a lot. It's mm-hmm. really tough when you first get it. It's
canvas or leather?
It's canvas. Right? Yeah. It takes a while for it to break in.
Okay.
And actually today I got an email from some company that wants me to. They want to send me
an apron,
like a leather apron, and then give away a leather apron too.
Oh, cool.
On my Instagram.
That's neat.
I don't know if I'm going to do it though. Yeah. I kind of like
leather's a bit,
it's
a commitment, man.
It is.
That's what I feel about it.
I mean, I already wear enough leather in my life.
Right.
Other
exactly.
times,
exactly.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
No, I don't.
In your boots.
Oh, that's true. I do have leather boots. But that's the only, I don't, can't think of any other leather I'd actually wear.
Sure.
Leather pants.
It's usually shiny and black, but whatever.
That's all PVC.
Well, that went sideways. All right. I don't really have any other questions. I mean, what do you pack your stuff in? Have you packed it in multiple things for flying? How do you check it?
Yeah. So initially, when I started to travel, I would, a lot of that stuff would fit inside the box that my Starrett 12-inch combo came in. So I'd put it all in that, and that would go in my suitcase.
Okay.
And if it didn't fit in there, like my block plane, I would just wrap up in fabric and stick it in my suitcase.
Luggage, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, all that stuff has got to get checked. But now when I travel, which actually I'm really glad I'm not quite sure what exactly the exchange was, but I now have a small Pelican case from you.
We do a podcast. I think I'm getting Kumiko blocks or something.
Yeah. I'm teaching you woodworking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
a good trade-off.
So now I have this small Pelican case, and it'll fit all of that stuff, and I think it'll also actually fit the podcast equipment.
Ooh.
So it'll be pretty handy for me to when I travel to have that case. And because I fly so much on Delta, I get two bags for free.
Yep, I know that.
Yeah, so I don't have to pay for my bags, and so it all goes in that. Now I'm really happy with that. And
did you buy the foam inside? I don't remember.
I haven't bought it yet.
Okay, all right. You want to figure out what?
How I need to figure out. Like now that I have this podcast gear to take with me, it'll be different.
I might have another small Pelican case if you need it.
Oh, I don't need three. Although it could work as a carry-on, I guess.
I have a little handheld one. It's like it looks like a little briefcase. Like you have codes to a nuclear bomb. This stuff might fit in there.
Yeah.
I have to think about it.
But sometimes I also, if I'm flying, like I'm going down to teach box making, and I'm going to take the boxes that we're making. So I got to get those down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, maybe I'll ship those this time. Okay. No, because I need them there Monday, so I can't ship them.
Gotcha.
Or sometimes I need to take Kumiko, like samples of Kumiko. So that stuff will probably go in my suitcase this time in between layers of clothing.
Oof.
Yeah.
That could go badly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've packed some interesting things in my luggage, and some have made it and some haven't.
I've never had a problem with that stuff getting broken.
So we have a yearly... We take a trip to Vegas, and it's not it's a work trip, but at the end we're usually stashed in a closet with a bunch of booze, and we whatever's left over from the VIP area, and most of it has been untouched, we just pack in our bag. So I've brought many bags of booze back in my bag and had no issues. So.
Yeah.
But I put random things in there that got destroyed, that like a lens one time. It was all wrapped up and nice, and somehow they
in your suitcase.
It. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It's hit or miss, I guess. That's cool. What would you say someone does if they were, say I wanted to go to Austin and take a class, what would be your recommendation to pack that stuff up? Just like a box and ship it, or is better chance to take it with you and kind of pack it in like a U-Haul box with a bunch of padding? And
if you can, I would pack it and ship it ahead of time.
Okay.
Because it's one less thing to worry about.
Yeah.
You know? And I actually think that I would trust UPS or the U.S. Postal Service not to screw things up.
More so than
the airlines.
The plane, yeah.
Yeah, they're just chucking stuff, you know? So,
I've watched them.
Yeah, so I think that's what I would do. If you have the lead time to be able to do that, which most people would. Me, I can't do that because, you know, like to... You know, I'm using my tools right up to the time that I leave. Yeah. So, and like I need to sharpen them all, which I'll probably do during the day tomorrow or Saturday before I go. So that is usually something I do right before.
Too bad
I
pack you can't use it as carry on, right? Because it's all sharp stuff. You can't take it as
carry on. Yeah, yeah.
It's like my camera gear. I take carry on so that
I do.
If worse comes to worse, at least I have my gear. Like if my clothes don't show up, I don't care, but at least I can do my assignment.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, because that's the thing with carry on, I always take my camera
with me
and lenses with me. And then also, I always have my notebooks, you know, and stuff like that. So I already have two carry ons. I wanted to get a better carry on for this trip before I started this year to make things easier to travel. I just don't think I have time. Tomorrow I might be able to go and find like a nice backpack or something.
See me after the podcast.
Okay. okay.
It's something to borrow at least and see if it works for you.
Okay. Was it only hold a camera?
Oh, no.
It could hold like my notebooks and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And a laptop and all that.
Okay. That would be cool. Because, yeah, now...
Side note.
Yeah, now like I'm going to be gone in Austin for 7 days, and it's like I kind of want to take some of my markers with me too, so that when I'm drawing I can color, you know, and that I have something to put them in, but it's huge and it's like, anyways, all right, I'll talk to you.
Okay. Maybe edit that out, I don't know, we'll see,
whatever. All right, so that's what I would do. All right, so now let's talk about, so we're to the stage of three things.
Yes,
three things to know.
Yep.
So this time I thought we could do three things to know about traveling with your tools.
Yeah.
All right. Because people do travel to take, people have been traveling to my
right, and that's why
shop
I asked,
to take classes. Mm-hmm. People travel to Mark Adams. They travel, you know, there are destination places to take classes.
Right.
So one is like, the first thing to know is like, how do you figure out what you need to take to a class? Now they will, so oftentimes schools will give you like a list of tools.
Yeah.
And I hate having to do that, by the way, for the classes that I teach. It's like, oh, what do they need to bring? But it's like, well, they should just bring what I bring.
Yeah.
You know, but if you are going to take a class and you're not quite sure what to take and you're not 100%, you don't 100% rely on what the school gives you mm-hmm. to bring, because sometimes it's a little generic, can be generic,
right?
Or it can be too much.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is maybe make something similar. And before you start making it, put away all your tools. And as you're making it, don't put away tools, but you know, maybe put them somewhere neatly in your shop, sure. Group them.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, all the hand tools and layout tools that you used while you're making that mm-hmm. are there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at it and say, okay, well, these tools I really definitely used. And this is something that if they have it there, it's not a big deal.
Right.
If I take mine.
Yeah.
So you can set aside everything, and that'll give you an idea of what the stuff that you actually used.
Mm-hmm.
The other way to do that is to, over the course of like a month of working in your shop, keep track of the stuff that you're using over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff you want to take.
Okay.
If you use something just once, you don't need to take it.
Right, right.
You know, so... because you will consistently use the same core set of things over and over again.
Yeah, that's what I keep finding, even with projects that are a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, I have tools that I use across everything that I make. Mm-hmm. And then there are tools that I use sometimes.
Right.
You know? And that reminds me, I need to make sure I take certain router bits with me.
Ooh, good chat, good chat.
So here's something, one thing that I wish I could take with me that I can't. My router table.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yours is pretty elaborately set up. It's pretty nice.
Well, it's not unnecessary elaborate.
No, no, no. But I don't mean like that.
Yeah,
I mean just it can do a lot.
Right, but there's things about it like the router is not mounted in the center. It's offset towards the back, which allows you to have it gives you more working surface
right.
in front of the bit,
mm-hmm.
which is really handy. But then it could also be turned around and you could have more space behind the bit,
yeah.
say. So, because I use my router table to route the tiny little dados that I need in little boxes and stuff.
Sure.
And so having that extra work surface is really nice.
Is that one made or did you buy that one?
I made it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
And I like the fence is designed to work, you know, and also mm-hmm. I know it's set up and it's accurate. Sometimes you show up and the router table is just this freaking jalopy.
It's not made for,
they use it for like, well, we just need to do an edge treatment on this door panel.
Right.
And it's like, no, I need something that's
a little more accurate,
accurate, more precision mm-hmm. oriented. So I would love to take that, but I can't. All right. So that's what, so the first thing was, it's how to figure out what you are
right,
sort of
sure.
always using.
Mm-hmm.
Then realize that you can, if you, it's possible that one tool can do multiple jobs.
Okay.
So,
for instance,
you can use a block plane as a smoothing plane just by changing out the blade. So instead of taking two planes, you take one plane and two blades.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a bevel up, bench plane as they
sure.
call them. They're not really technically, they're block planes.
Yeah.
I will fight to the death over that. The difference between a bench plane and a block plane is any plane that is bevel up.
Okay.
A bench plane is any plane that is bevel down.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Because that is the difference.
Definition of those.
It's like the size is irrelevant.
Oh, okay.
You know, people, like I have heard all kinds of answers. People tell me all kinds of things, but I'm like, no, it's the orientation of the bevel. That's it. That's the difference between bench plane and block plane.
Got it.
I will fight people in a battle to the death with swords if I have to.
Swords. All right.
Well,
I won't bring that up then.
Yeah. So other things, you know, in terms of layout tools, you
mm-hmm.
know, you could use... You know, you could take a combo square and use the rule for it as a ruler without the head
right.
on it, you know? So there's things that you could pare things down. You know, you could just take a 6-inch combo square, and that would probably be all the square you would need for most joinery layout. You shouldn't have to be, most schools, you're not going to be setting up the machinery as a student.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So you probably don't need a 12-inch combo, but a 12-inch combo could be taken instead of a 6-inch.
Gotcha.
You know, that either one would be fine. So
chisel as a screwdriver, stuff
chisel
like that
as a screwdriver, perfect. Way to open up paint cans. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Cut steak with whatever. Mm. So yeah, those are some options. Yeah, things, ways to think about. Think about if you see two tools that are really similar. You know, like, oh, I have this 2-inch square and this 4-inch square. Do you really need to take both of them?
No, probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. So figure out which one you need to take.
Yep.
All right. So that's two things to know. The last thing to know, and I learned this the hard way.
I don't know the backstory. <on this. laughs>
You cannot take saws and chisels on a cruise. So,
I could see why.
Yeah. So in January of 2019, I went to Australia, and I was teaching two Kumiko classes while I was there.
Okay.
Now, I went there also to visit with someone that I met the first time I went to Australia.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I showed up in Brisbane, and she surprised me with a 4-day cruise that I did not know we were going on.
Uh-huh.
So we go straight from the airport to the cruise. And I just have I've been traveling for like 24 hours, right? Yeah. And I get there and it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to take my suitcase because I totally forgot I had all these tools in it, plus pocket knives, you know? And so they take our luggage. They take your luggage before, like kind of like at the airport.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then you go through security and we're on the boat, on the ship. And we're, you know, we go have a beer and we're da 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 da, we're hanging out. And some point we go back to the cabin and there's this note that's like, you need to come down to this floor at this time, this deck at this time, to this area, because we found contraband in your luggage. And I was like,
What the hell?
And I couldn't think of anything. Eventually, by the time I got down there,
drugs or something.
I was like, what? I was like, I don't have any alcohol in there, I don't have anything. And before I got down there, I realized, oh, it's got to be my woodworking stuff. I totally forgot about it. And I get down there, and I'm there with this person, and she's like, oh, yeah, he has some swords and daggers in there. So it was not. It was a Dazuki and some chisels and a pocket knife or two. And so they're like, okay, well, we have to put this in quarantine. You can't have it on the boat. I'm sure. Like, that's fine.
As long as you get it back.
Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry. I totally forgot. I literally was in the country I flew into Sydney, then to Brisbane. I was like literally there for like an hour. And I was like, so they gave me this slip and on it said, items,
swords and daggers.
Swords and daggers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can't take that stuff as carry on anywhere. That's
good
the
to know.
Nice thing to know. Yeah. So
my mom gave me a Nerf gun as like a stocking stuff for maybe like 6-7 years ago for Christmas time. And when I went through security in the Melbourne, Florida airport, lady stopped me and gave me the biggest hassle. It was a plastic Nerf gun. And
why are we finding out of Melbourne?
Because we found dirt cheap tickets to Connecticut. So.
But that's pretty far from where your parents live, right?
I think it was a little over an hour. Just like
is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
How did you get there? Because you didn't go up I-4 to 95 and then go south. So you had to go south into Orlando.
We went to Orlando and then across.
And cut across. Yeah, yeah. Melbourne is on the Atlantic coast.
Yeah, it's closer
in Florida.
To, yeah.
South of
Orlando.
South of Orlando. Yeah. Yeah, one of my aunts lived in Melbourne, she lived in Vero Beach.
Yeah, okay.
Which is just south of Melbourne, I think. Maybe north.
I think so.
But it's right in
it's
that
right
area.
It's right around. Yeah, I mean, we found like JetBlue tickets for dirt cheap, so we went in and out of there for Christmas time, especially.
I'll never fly JetBlue. It's like now I always fly Delta.
Because it's all full
it's
of
worth
kids,
it.
That's why.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Plus, I always get upgraded now on Delta. So I had, they roll over your mileage.
Oh, yeah. I was $400 short last year for gold, and I called to give them crap because I was on delays and stuff like that. And what happened is I bought my ticket for the Rose Bowl, and my next day's flight was after the new year, and it didn't count. And I was like $400 short, and I asked the lady at the counter, I was like, will I get my gold if I call and complain that you guys delayed me on my last flight? And she's like, oh, they're sure. I called, and they were like, no, of course not. But you can pay $600 to be upgraded.
I was like $600 shorts of diamond. Was it go silver, then gold?
Silver, gold, platinum, diamond.
I was short of gold. Like seven. Yeah, I was so.
That's what I was short of.
And I was thinking, like, oh, I should just take a trip somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper.
Oh, and I didn't do it. So, but I rolled over 46,000 miles. So I'm already qualified for the silver again. Yeah, yeah. And
that's
mileage.
That's where I'm at right now.
But it's just it's the money side of it. Yep. Like, that side sucks. Yep. Screw Delta for that.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, I don't know why people were talking about this now.
It doesn't matter. What's our stat of the podcast?
All right, stat of the podcast. 69.846% of all wood turners wear jean shorts and suspenders in the summer. In a belt, probably, too.
Belt and suspenders.
Suspenders, for yeah. Sure. I was talking about my classes recently with somebody, and this is something I'm really happy about. When I first started woodworking, listen, the demographics of woodworking, the majority of woodworkers are old white guys.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is.
It's the way it's been.
But my classes now are not, that is getting a smaller and smaller percentage.
Sure.
Which makes me happy because.
It's all the hipsters, man.
It's all the freaking hipsters. No. It's like, yeah, could you wax my mustache for me there, good sir? No, what I like is, in order for woodworking to survive as a craft, it has to diversify. And through diversification, it also becomes a stronger craft because you get a broader spectrum of perspectives,
absolutely,
a broader spectrum of ideas.
And people from different backgrounds and different experiences. Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes it stronger. So now my classes are much more diverse, both in age and also in gender and also in other things like race.
Yeah.
I don't know about, actually, that's the only one I can really think of. I don't know about religion or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't care about that. But yeah, it's more diverse, which is so wonderful.
I saw Phil Morley just posted one of his classes from the Austin, where you're going next week, and it was like half women, which is fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah, it's really great. Yeah, my Kumiko class is, there's seven students or eight students, and at least three of them are women, which is wonderful. Yeah.
That's awesome. If you don't like that stuff, you don't like us talking about it, don't listen. Thanks, bye.
Well, I don't think really too many people get bent out of shape about that stuff anymore.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
All right, so...
A joke.
What's the difference between in-laws and outlaws?
I don't know what's the difference.
Outlaws are at least wanted by somebody.
I won't laugh at that because I actually like my mother-in-law.
Do you?
Yeah, she's fine. She's nice.
I don't have in-laws anymore. That's all I'm going to say.
Cha-ching.
I don't have them anymore. I have a brother-in-law, my younger sister's husband, right? And I used to have another brother-in-law, but my sister got divorced. And I have a sister-in-law, but I know her mom a little bit. But so my brother-in-law, younger sister's husband, his dad died. At a fairly young age, all of a sudden, out of nowhere. And I saw my brother-in-law, who I like a lot, and I was like, hey, you know, I said his name. I said, listen, you know, I'm really sorry to hear about your dad. And at this point, I was still married. And I said, listen, I said, of all the father-in-laws I know, yours is my favorite. Your dad's my favorite.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I did like his dad. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
All right.
Anyway, so that is another episode in the books or in the wraps, in the reels, in the weeds.
Yeah.
Next time,
Might be doing something from Austin.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do some record some podcasts when I'm in Austin. One, Phil and I are going to get together.
Okay. Is it going to Phil for this, or are you doing a separate thing?
Phil for woodworking.
Okay.
Again.
No, but I mean, like, is it going to be for our podcast, or are you going to use it for something different?
What other podcast?
I don't know. Are you doing a side thing? I don't know.
Checking. Yeah, I have my own podcast now. It's just the Matt Woodworking. Really fun hour. And I do think I'm going to interview another woodworker down there that I know.
Okay.
who I like a lot. I call him Huckleberry, but I like him. He's really enthusiastic, and he's sort of a beginner.
Okay.
And I kind of want to talk to another beginner, but he's also been like, I think he went through a 9-month program somewhere.
Oh, nice.
And he's a military veteran.
Oh, really and, cool.
Yeah. So I want to talk to him. But I'm also going to do some episodes of the Robot Podcast.
Cool.
Awesome. While I'm down there. But yeah, I'll get at least two of those. And there's also a young woman down there that I would like to do a podcast with if she's willing to do it. I haven't asked her yet. But I'm going to send her a message today.
Sweet.
And so that would be three, or I might get the fill on one and the other two on another. So it'll either be two or three that we can spread out. Because I'd like to start, one of the things I want to do going forward for this, now that I'll be traveling a lot again, is interviewing
people on the road.
People on the road, yeah, yeah. Talking to other woodworkers. Cool. And those might only be like 30-minute interviews or something.
Did I tell you I will be down that area on Sunday and Monday? I just realized that
in Texas?
Yeah.
In Austin?
In Waco, 2 hours away.
Oh.
So anyways, yeah. Maybe I'll see you.
Come over for dinner or something.
All right, cool.
Anyways, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you next time.
All right, guys. Bye.